So, what do you remember learning about the story of the first Thanksgiving? It was the early 1620s when a group of refugees fled religious persecution in Europe and set out to cross the Atlantic on the Mayflower. And when those pilgrims first set foot in the New World to eventually meet the Native Americans who would help them survive the winter, where did they land? Well, last year I went to see what legend says was one of the very first spots, the not-so-prodigious Plymouth Rock.
Well, it's called the great, you know, New England disappointment. People expect to see something that looks like a pier or a wharf that a ship could tie up to and people could disembark. And that's not what we have.
Not even close. Donna Curtin is the executive director of the Pilgrim Hall Museum in Plymouth, Massachusetts. We met on a crisp fall morning underneath the portico at the edge of Plymouth Harbor. Up to 1 million visitors a year stand on a viewing platform and peer down at a modest slug of granite partly buried in the sand.
So we have the poor little top of the rock that's been exposed, as you can see, to the tides coming in, covering it twice a day. It's covered up underwater. And this placement was done about 100 years ago in 1920 because the rock used to be up on higher ground and people were kind of confused thinking of it as a landing place. It should be down by the shore.
Now, it isn't very big.
The poor rock has been chipped and split and dropped and souvenir hunted for centuries. So we're looking at something that is not in the prime of its youth and glory, but has been used and interacted with sometimes pretty aggressively over the course of many, many generations. So I think we have to give the rock a little bit of leeway in its diminished size in this day and age.
Sure, that seems fair. But when visitors come, and we'll talk to some of them here in just a minute, do they often say something like, oh, that's it?
That is pretty much exactly what we hear a lot of them say.
That's Matt Villamino. He works at the Pilgrim Memorial Park, and he joined us for the tour.
We do point out that about half of it is underneath the beach level, but one of the things that I like to focus on is that it's not the size of the rock that's important, and it doesn't even matter at this point if they actually stepped on it. It's the symbolism behind the rock that really is what makes it important today.
Well, let's talk about that, because most Americans who know something about Plymouth Rock might think that in 1620, the pilgrims landed at this site and stepped upon this rock, but there's a question about whether or not that even happened.
Yeah, some historians are a little skeptical, myself included. The timing would have had to have been just right with the tides. The original settlement is only about 500 feet from us. It's where they built their houses. So they definitely saw it here on the beach. But one of the biggest questions that I have as far as them stepping out onto it is the sailors aren't going to want to break their ship by putting it right next to a rock.
But is it right that it was even 100 years later when the idea that they disembarked at this point even came to be? It was in the 1740s.
Yeah, in 1741, that they were going to build a wharf here. And one of the elders of the church, his name was Elder Fonts, he came down here to the beach to say goodbye to the rock. He was in his 90s. And he had heard from his father, who heard from the original Mayflower passengers, that this is where they stepped when they landed here. And he told the townspeople. But it really doesn't, to you, for lack of a better term, it doesn't go viral until 1769, when the town people here in Plymouth start celebrating Forefathers Day, and the story is retold.
So at that point, it starts to become almost more of a legend. And at that point also, we're talking about revolutionary times in this country, or in what would become this country.
Just about, yeah. Yeah, and in 1774, right before the revolution, the upper part of the rock was moved from here on the beach up to the town square. At that point, this was a wharf. It wasn't really the nicest part of town necessarily, probably relatively smelly with all the fishing boats. So they decided to move it to a more honorable spot. Unfortunately, when they were doing that, as they were lifting it up, it broke in half top and bottom. So they left the bottom here in the middle of the wharf and brought the top up to town square.
It literally split in two, which, I mean, there's some symbolism there.
Yes, and some people saw it as a sign that we should split from England.
And ever since then, the rock has carried the weight of its own symbolism. Kathy Swain traveled here all the way from Carlisle, Iowa, and she was expecting
a bigger rock.
But she's not disappointed.
It brings it closer to your heart, that you're that your forefathers went through what they went through for you, for me to be here today, standing here talking to you. So that means a lot to me.
And it means something else to others.
Our forefathers weren't the pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock was landed on us.
In this speech in 1964, the civil rights leader Malcolm X rejected the rock's identity as a stepping stone for American destiny.
We were brought here against our will. We were not brought here to be made citizens. We were not brought here to enjoy the constitutional gifts that they speak so beautifully about today. And because we weren't brought here to be made citizens today, now that we've become awakened to some degree and we begin to ask for those things which they say are supposedly for Americans, they look upon us with hostility and unfriendliness.
What do you think about that, the fact that this has some negative connotations to people around the country?
I think that's powerful.
Again, Donna Curtin.
I like to remember when Sojourner Truth came here to visit Plymouth in the 1850s, and a fugitive slave and a beacon and voice for freedom for African Americans in this country throughout her life. And she said, Plymouth Rock to many, you know, symbolizes liberty and freedom. Well, what about the fugitive slave? Does it mean freedom for me? And I think that question still resonates with this. Does this symbol of liberty in America extend to all of us?
Of course, the Native Americans who lived here would say no.
It was the village of Patuxet, and at one point this was filled with the homes, with the weetus, the cornfields of the Wampanoag people that had lived here for millennia before the Pilgrims arrived. They had suffered a terrible illness before the arrival of the Mayflower in 1620, and this village was decimated. There were still bones on the ground, abandoned homes. To the Pilgrims, this was God's providence. They were able to come into this, what they considered to be an abandoned area, and build their homes and settle here with cleared land, and they saw it as a blessing of God. To the Wampanoag people, of course, it was one of the most devastating events in their 10,000-year history.
And that was only the beginning. On Thursday, as they do each Thanksgiving Day, a group of Native Americans will hold a vigil here. They call it the National Day of Mourning.
Yeah, last year we had a couple of thousand people out there.
This is Bayo, an indigenous activist who goes by one name. She says over the years, protesters have buried the rock in sand to remind people that the Pilgrims and the Native Americans weren't friends.
Frigid, cold New England weather. It's really remarkable that people do this, and why not? There's a lot of people who are seeking truth right now.
Any plans to bury the rock in sand this year?
We're not going to let you in on any of our secrets.
Okay. Laughing aside, Bayo says this is serious.
It is a space of remembrance. It is a space of Native people gathering and allies gathering to remember what the coming together of European settlers actually meant for Native people. It is a day of counteracting the myths and some of the amnesia that we live with in this culture in the United States.
So when Indigenous people stand in front of Plymouth Rock, what do they actually see?
They see and we see that we are resilient. I and many others in the United American Indians of New England believe we move out of the motto that we are not vanquished, that we are not conquered, and we are as strong as ever. And when we see that rock, as we gather in thousands, we see that.
It's a viewpoint that Donna Curtin can empathize with. She took me inside the Pilgrim Hall Museum, just a short walk up from the harbor. Inside, there's a piece of Plymouth Rock that visitors can walk up to.
This is the part you can come in and touch.
It's a cold, hard scrap of American history. And nearly 400 years after it was discovered, it is still prompting us to ask questions about what it means to be a newcomer in this country, even if those questions aren't easy to answer.
Where there's talk, there's hope. And if Plymouth, Massachusetts, and Plymouth Rock can be part of that conversation, I think that's a good thing. Something to be grateful for.
That was Donna Curtin at the Plymouth Hall Museum in Plymouth, Massachusetts. We spoke last November. We've got a great video at hereandnow.org where you can see the rock for yourself. And by the way, the United American Indians of New England will be holding their 49th National Day of Mourning tomorrow, just a few yards from this highly charged symbol of America.